Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the Marvel Stuff Podcast, where like we do every single week, we try to figure out, am I the jerk for punching every small puppy that walks by? I know what you're thinking, but just consider that the answer could actually be yes. It might be yes.
Nope. They probably deserved it.
They probably deserved it. That's exactly right. That's why you're the co-host here. I'm, of course, Coach, and this is...
Hey, it's Josh Kennedy from Facebook.
I love that guy.
I like to promote bad behavior and thoughts, so.
Yes. Punching puppies is not actually what we condone. We do condone good Marvel content, which is what I believe we watch and what Marvel we're going to discuss.
Great Marvel great content. Marvel. I'll go that far. I'll go that far for this one.
All right. Well, to break it down, it is going to be spoilers. You see the ticker flowing across the bottom of the screen. We're going to jump right in. We're not going to like half. No, spoilers right off the start. Which I sort of gave away in our little non-spoiler. No one dies.
It was a small spoiler, but I named the episode spoiler-free with one spoiler, so everyone knows what happened. Coming.
Which I guess is interesting, just before we said that. I never even considered someone would die, which is weird, because usually when something
I legitimately thought we were going to lose half the Guardians in this one. Oh. To be perfectly honest, because Dave Bautista and Zoe Saldana both said they're not coming back. Now, Dave Bautista's definitely out, but Zoe, I mean, maybe she could go either way. But as of right now, they both said they're not coming back. So I was a little surprised that neither of them died in this film.
Honestly, ever since Fast and Furious, when Paul Walker died, but then his character didn't die, I kind of just, that seems to be what studios do now. They're just like, yeah, we'll just let the character live.
I mean,
else.
Yeah, they'd probably just recast, so that's definitely possible. I mean, Marvel, as we go on, is getting better and better about being okay with recasting, because you know we just kind of have to. It's been going on for so long. Some actors are dying; they can't live forever. There's certain ones that can just kind of be switched out. I'll be bummed though. I'll say one of my favorite things about this film was the fact that James Gunn is trying to make every WWE superstar do a stupid dance in his projects, and I can really appreciate that, because him and John Cena both should just be him.
Dancing is for idiots. What does he get? What he says?
Yes.
All right. Let's jump into the movie then. We'll sort of break it down similar to how we did in our spoiler-free, but more in depth. This movie was pretty good. We seemed to liked all the characters, and we seemed to have positive reviews about all of them. If there's one I wanted to jump in a little more deeply, would be, I'll start with Rocket. We'll do it in reverse order this time.
Sure.
Rocket sort of gets the pseudo main character, kind of, because I mean he's the one who has the backstory and he's connected to the villain the most.
I would almost go as far as to say he was the one that got a solo section in this movie. Maybe that's what the best way to phrase it, because he's not the main character, because when we are in like real life, he's, you know, on a hospital bed. So it's not
as the plot is progressing.
Exactly.
It's definitely more of just the Guardians, really, which is kind of cool. But yeah, he's the one who has like its own section of backstory. That's a cool story, the backstory. It sort of seemed a little out of nowhere if you really think about the kind. Like, it doesn't really give hints to the previous Guardians.
No, well, yeah, in a way. He says in the first one that he was kind of experimented on. That's kind of also implied. It's just kind of like, now we get to see what actually occurred, and it was majorly depressing.
It was majorly depressing. So he gets stuck in the set. Well, if you haven't watched the movie, I don't know what you're doing here, but he gets experimented on, but he gets thrown in this cell with some other animals who are also experimented on. There's four little friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're all super cute, but sort of creepy. You know,
How do you say her name? Linda Cardellini, I think She's now two Marvel characters, which is interesting. She was the voice of Lila in this one, and then also Hawkeye's wife. So, good on her.
Good on her. Yeah, you can do what you want as long as it's just your voice.
Well, I mean, it's a voice in the character. You know, spoiler is dead.
Yeah, super dead. If we say we said no one dies, but all of his friends die, which is super sad.
That's the funny. Yeah, like very no cool. Main characters die, but there was definitely some death in this, and some of it was kind of brutal, man.
No, those characters dying was brutal. Like, it was sad. Mm-hmm. It was, first off, it was sad just when you met them, because you just, like, they were very... Oh, they're
so, like, grotesque looking, but also cute. It's just, like, they really had to, like, toe the line there. They're like, oh, we got to make them look really sad, but also cute. And they
did incredible. Yeah, like, that bunny is, like, scary, but it's also, like, the cutest thing.
It's stupid little voice, and it names itself Floor because it lays on the floor. I'm like,
it lays on the floor?
That's
so good. That's such a good name. Yeah, I mean, that little crew is good. The sort of the story they gave to Rocket, so sort of he's this super genius, I think even more so than I had caught on.
Well, that was the interesting thing. He's always kind of been implied to be a mechanical weapons expert, but it, like, what we discovered in this film is, like, he's just all around a genius. He was programmed to be that way, so that was kind of interesting to see him take on different levels of just mental capacity, I guess. Maybe it's because he's not Star-Lord, so in the other films he's more of, like, a secondary as far as, like, what the movie's focused on. So it was cool to see a little bit more in this one.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting that he has this intuitive brain that can sort of pick things up and do anything he wants, which is very interesting. That's sort of what the experiment's for, this trying to create this perfect society, which is, like, okay, it's like whatever. It's an interesting backstory, but what it does to Rocket is interesting, because Rocket was supposed to just be this throwaway step on evolution, but he was
outsmarted his maker. Yeah, so that's what drives the high evolutionary so crazy in this one, is just he created something that surpassed him, which, you know, obviously is inevitably what AI is going to do to humans, right? That's what we're going with here.
That's where we're going with. We're going to start with those president memes on YouTube.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then we're all dead. But you know, that's
there's really no in between.
That's for our children to worry about. I think we will be okay. I'm dead. Mm-hmm. I'm dying at 55 anyway. Heart attack, like everyone else in my family. Mm. No fun. But it's an interesting backstory for Rocket, and I think it makes for an interesting villain. I just thought it was too many times, and just one too many flashbacks, one too many scenes. Although I can't think of which one I would pick out or anything, obviously. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I was satisfied with Rocket's backstory, and it had a lot of screen time. Yeah, I guess it sounds like it felt like a bit much to you, but to me, it felt all right. Like, I didn't feel like it got in the way of anything. You pointed out how much you hated all the needle drops in this one. There's a lot of music and a lot of needle dropping for the music.
I actually I was actively annoyed by it. I was just like,
I didn't think it was that bad. I think I gave it a little bit more leeway because that's literally kind of like, okay, it's cassette tapes. That's like the theme.
I get it.
Volume 1, 2, and 3. This is the last one.
I've watched the last two. I get the music is good, but there was just times where it was like, oh, we're going to jump. And it's like, we're going to go in slow motion and play this song for 35 seconds for, like, no reason. I'm just like, oh, just land. Like, just land.
Oh, man. That takes me right to one of the best jokes of the entire movie, though. With the buttons on the communicator.
And that is the best joke.
The best joke.
I told my wife that joke as soon as I got home. I hit blue
to talk to the blue. It's like, no, green is blue is the open channel, and green blue goes to red, and red goes to orange. And I was like, thought that was intuitive.
Like, yeah, the fact that they were like, oh, I thought that was intuitive, I had me dying. It's just so.
Yeah, look out for that joke. I mean, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you already saw it, but go watch it again just to enjoy that, because
I'll always think that.
On Disney Plus, it's gonna be great. I'm gonna think about it all the time. That might be one of the most memorable quotes out of nowhere in this movie. I'm like, oh yeah, that's one of the best jokes.
I'm definitely gonna use it anytime someone is just confused by something that's obviously intuitive. I don't know, dude. It seems pretty intuitive to me. That is a funny joke. But yeah, the music drops I thought were one too many. But there were some good ones. I like the little the flash forward to the 90s for like half a second. Like, oh, there's one song at the end. But
no.
I would like to keep... I would like to see a Guardians where it's just like all just 90s hits. I'm like, oh, yeah. Now we're feeling it. Because I'm obviously more of a 90s kid than I was.
They're going to... I mean, that's on its way. They're going to... Who is going to be the 90s character? That's an interesting point. It seems like we kind of skipped it. Because we have the young generation now that's like Peter and Kamala are both kind of younger. And obviously Tom Holland was actually born in the 90s. But the way he's playing the character, who's not... So I don't know.
I would argue nostalgia. At least for my age,
well, I guess Captain Marvel was all in the 90s. To be fair,
yeah, that's true. Which is supposed to be, which is unfortunate that no one likes that movie. I would argue, for the most part, every main character in the MCU is sort of aimed at my demographic of age group. Maybe I'm a little older than you by 3 years, but it feels like Tony Stark and they're just like slightly older than me. You know what I mean? But
man, really, I see Robert Downey as like an old man. He's like 20 years older than me.
I do by the end of the MCU.
Okay, fair enough.
But anyway, whatever. We're off track. Back to the movie. Rocket's good. Like Rocket.
Yep.
Great. I think the other big thing is the Gamora Star-Lord thing.
They really did a good job at making her unlikable. She was the worst for the whole first two-thirds of the movie, maybe more. Three quarters.
I wouldn't say she's the worst. They definitely did a good. First, that they did a really good job of showing how depressed he was. That Christmas adventure did not help his mood at all.
Nope, sure didn't.
He was still very drunk, which was pretty funny. And it's very sad. And team got attacked and all that good stuff. We'll talk about Warlock in a bit. But then, they set Gamora up as like, I didn't experience this. I didn't think she was like mean about it.
No, she was just kind of frustrated because he kept trying to make her into something that she hadn't become yet. It's just kind of one of those things. And I liked how Nebula kept calling out like, yeah, this is what she was like before. I don't know why you guys are so surprised. So that I kind of dug for sure. The fact that Nebula is kind of there as a frame of reference. Like, I knew her when she was that age, and this is exactly the type of person she was. So I don't know. Yeah,
which is interesting because like, it's not who she is at the beginning of Guardians 1 even. Like, it's not like Star-Lord changed her. Like, who she is in this movie is not who she is. Like, even at the start of Guardians 1.
At the start of Guardians 1, she had already bailed on Thanos, right?
Right.
And in her new version, which was in Endgame, it was before her initial ditching of Thanos. I believe she still was working with him.
No, because she didn't fight with him in Endgame.
Okay, you're right. So, yeah, there maybe was strained. I don't know how the timeline works there, but yeah, you're right.
It's not, but it's fine. Because I do think it's interesting. It is an interesting look into her when she was, Gamora, whatever her nickname is. She had some sort of assassin. Woman assassin or something.
Sounds right.
But she was interesting. I thought the relationship was interesting. I thought it had like a very slow burn, like a very slow build. But like I could feel the whole time. I was like, "Yeah, it's one. He's getting one layer in. One
step closer." I liked it. I did really like it. And I also, not to lie, I mean, obviously we're jumping around a little bit, but we knew that was going to happen. I like how it ended, and it didn't end up being the romance that they were kind of building up for. Maybe it's just
It sort of did, and it sort of didn't. Like it's, which is true of a lot of where the characters end off.
Ending of romance movies and stuff that I dig. Like, that's why I'm such a big fan of 500 Days of Summer. Like, he does not end up with Summer, but I still love that movie.
It's definitely the new trope. They've definitely gone away from the ending with the kiss. I realize
it worked. Yeah.
The ending with the kiss has gone away. But yeah, like I said, I like the layers on layers. I liked when he was like flirting with that assistant and sort of used it to show off his charm to Gamora.
I think it was Ura.
Yeah. Like all that stuff I thought worked, and you could tell that it sort of slowly chipped away at her the whole time, which I liked.
Since you brought her up, can we talk about how disgusting the Orgo Corp like planet / base was? It was gross, dude. There was pus and like just like veins and fatty tissue, and it was like, I don't like this. This is gross.
So that's why when I was
doing it.
I mean, it is gross, but it's not just the grossness. I think like when I think about the whole section, right? When I think back of this movie, like, am I going to think I liked that part of the movie? I don't know that probably there's not much of it. The landing and the joke with the suits, I'll find funny. But then once they get on this weird...
Yeah, the Drax and Mantis thing. Like, you were hopelessly in love with them. That was really a great
part. You're right. That was very funny.
Because the actors definitely cracked, and then they left them cracking in the film. They're like, oh, yeah, this is funny as heck. We got to leave this in.
It definitely was pretty funny. And I didn't get it. Like,
billion.
Like, as it was happening, I was like, what is happening? But it was like, he's just... Nathan Fillion had some crew member who's just the worst. And everyone knows that guy.
Yeah,
that
part was funny. Yeah.
Who's just like, yeah, dude.
This guy was great. So proud of him. This guy, God, he's the worst. He doesn't do anything right. I got one. Oh, he kept calling back to that. Like, yeah, I got one of those too. I totally get it. Like, this is great.
He cared more about dunking on that guy than he did about doing his job. I'll tell you that.
It was great.
So, yeah, overall, I sort of like the section. I don't love it.
It's definitely not the highlight of the movie, but I think there was enough jokes sprinkled in there that it definitely had to happen.
He did do the pretty much the same thing as the prison escape, where he like just took over their suits. I guess in the prison escape, they took over the drones, but it was very similar.
Yeah,
way to get out of prison, which is fine.
That might have been a callback, though. You know,
I don't know, but callback to your own. There's only three movies. Whatever. I don't care.
I know what you're saying.
It's fine. It's not my favorite part, but yeah.
Me either. But I don't think it has to be.
I think I like it a little more than the plan. I guess we can do that. Let's keep going on the different locations. Think about the whole time on this counter Earth is sort of the other.
The one time I peed, you said I missed a very funny scene with him with the Bat family at the kitchen table. I missed that whole
section,
though. So I'll have to watch that another time.
But the counter Earth thing, they land on this planet. It's exactly like Earth, except that it's filled with these different aliens.
Yeah.
There's a couple funny interactions. There's like there is a really funny scene inside of the house where like Drax keeps trying to lay on their couch and they keep telling him it's rude. And he just keeps arguing that like, well, it's what it's for. That's a whole pretty funny bit. But I didn't love most of anything that happened on this planet.
I mean, the fact that like even in the trailer, the like throwing the dodgeball at the kid or the soccer ball, just smearing that kid right in the face is great. Oh man,
it's still, yeah, it's funny.
Classic Drax, dude. It was hilarious. Even though we knew it was coming, and it was still pop in the theater.
But I mean, the Star-Lord, it's not a trap; it's a face-off thing. Was like okay, like yeah, whatever. They do get the data they need to save Rocket while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of them don't really have much.
He's gone through on his wife. That was interesting. I mean, it makes sense. He pulls in his friends and his brother, but I was like, oh hey, it's Harcourt from Peacemaker.
And he shot her.
Sure, shot her. That was funny. That was a funny scene. Oh man, all Warlock right, and his pet. We got to get to that too. We can keep rolling.
We'll keep rolling. So yeah, nothing in that section of the movie was like overly exciting. A little bit of power, a little bit of this. Cool Groot thing, you know. Kaiju Groot was cool.
Well, there you go. How do you feel about Groot in this film? Like, from beginning to end?
Yep, Kaiju Groot was cool. The growing wings was cool. Awesome. His way to fight was cool. The way he, like, take all the like, guns out, that was pretty dope.
Yeah, that was sick. The back-to-back.
You saw it in the trailer, but then to, like, see it actually executed the way he, like, opened up and was hiding all his guns inside of himself was all pretty sweet.
It was... That scene and then also the hallway scene where like it's Guardians at their best, man. That's how I felt about those couple of sections. It's just the action was so fun and like fluid in the way they worked as a team. I really dug it. And then what like they took advantage of each other's powers and kind of set the next one up to like layups. It's just classic team dynamics, but I love seeing it kind of pay off.
Yep. I love all the team stuff was good. But yeah, Groot was fun. Groot was cool.
I didn't love that they gave him more words. They're like, oh, I love you guys. One, I made the joke that he definitely should have said family because it's Vin Diesel and everyone would have lost their minds. But I didn't like how now I could say other words.
Yeah, it definitely did not have anywhere near the impact of like We Are Groot.
Yeah, We Are Groot was like, so much better.
I think you should have just said it again. Yeah, I think it would have been better to just say We Are Groot again, and you sort of feel like, all right, Groot has fully come back to where he was. But yeah, the I love you guys didn't do it for me.
Right.
I did like the whole bit about like Gamora came back and then couldn't understand him and all that stuff. Like,
those, oh yeah, I do like the idea. I saw something online that people were arguing about that. And I don't know which way I want to go with it, but the Groot language, James Gunn kind of seems to imply that the longer you're around him, the better you can understand him. But then people are calling back to Infinity War, where Thor says he studied that language. So it's kind of like one of those stupid inconsistencies, you know?
I think it can be both, right? Exactly. Like, that's what you I'm can have about. Studied Spanish, or you could hang out with in Mexico for a month. Like, both work.
Yeah, that's true.
So, whatever. I like it. I liked it. I like the whole, because then it ends well with like Gamora finally does get what he says, and it's a pretty heartwarming little moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. Her conclusion was kind of cool, because like in the time that she bailed on the team, she did go to the Ravagers and they became like her found family. And Star-Lord pointed that out, that they are the better ones. But I like how she was still loyal to the Ravagers, because this is a new version of the Ravagers. They've slowly, like, the second film, they got rid of all the ones that were like terrible, and now the crew that's left are mostly, you know, good people. They're still pirates, but they're not like the throwing drinks on baby Groot type. They seem like a true group of.
Yeah, they're not Yondu's slaver guys. They're the more reputable ones. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I definitely thought they were cool. I thought, like I said, Gamora's arc was cool, and like we said, we talked about Groot. It ties back into Gamora. That's what this movie did well, was that all the characters had like really interesting arcs. Like, I think about talk about Nebula for a second, right? Like, Nebula, mm-hmm. first off, her new arm was cool. I liked her new arm. That was cool.
Cyborg combined with what a bunch of other people that have had the robot arm that does other things, but it's fine. It worked for her. And I also liked it. She looked like, what's the Destroyer from Thor 1?
Yeah.
That was kind of the vibe that I got. Yeah.
But then it turns out that Rocket got made it for her, which is cool. But there's like a whole little arc and like an argument that she has with sort of Mantis. Mantis keeps calling her a jerk because she's very uncaring. Mm-hmm. But then you can see like how much Nebula breaks down when she finds out Rocket's okay.
Rocket's okay, yeah.
Like little things like that. They do it like every character has a different connection to each character. That to me is why this is such a good Guardians. Is there so many little examples.
It was the most like conglomerate type that you felt the team. You're like, okay, these guys are for sure super close. They're playing off each other. They have little things to bicker about. The Avengers do that too, but at the same time, like that relationship between the different Avengers is they're not around each other 24/7. So like you can definitely feel like these guys live together more than the Avengers ever really did.
Yeah. I'd say other than Tony and Cap, you don't really feel that much connection between most of the Avengers, because they sort of like, oh, you're in one
room together. I mean, they had Avengers campus or whatever, and I know that some of them lived there at that time, but it's like, what relationships had a payoff from that stay other than Vision and Wanda?
Yeah, I agree. That's why I think this is really, this is just well-written movie, which is like to James Gunn Dodge. He had a good idea. If you watch the movie, you can like see the seeds being planted of Nebula being a jerk, and kind of see where it pays off at the end. You see like how, you know, Groot sort of has to find his own way in there. Like pays off. It's all very good. I don't know who's my favorite one. Probably Star-Lord's still my favorite character, but I would say my favorite arc that wasn't Rocket was probably Drax.
This was a Drax highlight for me, this movie. I really, really loved it. It's like he did keep doing his stupid, you know, on the dummy shtick, but he also showed his vulnerability and like the fact that like you forget that he was a dad because he doesn't bring it up anymore. But when he's confronted with a bunch of kids, like he knows exactly how to be a dad and he knows how to like be there for certain teammates, even though he calls them ugly and morons and stupid and. But like there's so much love there, and that's a detriment. That's, you know, you got to shout out to Dave Bautista's acting chops, because he really bodied the character this time. It was really cool.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was really good. I thought they did a really good job. He's always funny. Like, I think some people are like, oh, Drax is just a joke machine. Yeah, because it's funny every time. I legitimately think every time he opens his mouth, it's pretty freaking funny.
Yeah, the stupid Zargnot scene close to the top, which is like, would you like a Zargnot? Like, maybe I want a Zargnot. They're all gone.
They're all gone.
Shoves one more Zargnot in his mouth. Like, God. James Gunn, he had to have the payoff for this Argonauts. but yes, moved exactly. So imperceptibly slow, no one can see me.
Yep, Drax is really funny, and but it was also good. It was also heartwarming, and again, he's one of the people who gets to end in a good place. He sort of has a really cool relationship with Mantis, which we've already knew from the second one. That does the same thing. It sort of has like a
it pays off, but it doesn't pay off at the same time. But it is a romance. I like it because they've gone through different things. If you watch The Boys, it reminds me of Frenchie and Kimiko. That's kind of how those two feel to me. If you guys have watched The Boys recently, it's kind of like that type of relationship.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit of romance. They just, you know.
Yeah, but there was a little bit of romance between Frenchie and Kimiko. And then they're like, yeah, that was weird. So anyway, yeah, it's just something I associated in my head. Maybe yes. Maybe other people think that.
I think it'll pay off. Mantis, I thought was really cool. I think Mantis does a really good job in this movie. I think
I love how violently they had her fall everywhere. Like she never landed soft. She was always on her head or her neck or whatever. It was good stuff.
But she did a good job of like being the outwardly caring. We said every, you can tell everyone cares, but different
the
ways.
Yeah. She's the empath.
She like actively shows that she cares, is like actively trying to push Peter.
Yeah, and like she defends Drax with him. That was another one of the funny jokes. She just dunks on him for being an idiot, and Drax is like, I don't know if I really enjoy this defense.
Yeah, exactly.
he killed it with the one-liners this time. Yep. I can't even handle how good Batista was in this one.
That's such a funny moment. It's just, I'm not really sure I love this defense. It was really funny. But it is good. It's good that she's there. It's just that she cares about everybody. Right, she yells at Nebula, but like in a like, hey, can you just stop being a jerk for no reason right now? You gotta understand.
Well, since we're kind of in that area of the film, how do you feel? It was the first ever MCU F-bomb. Was it executed right? Because I kind of really loved it. It felt like it was truly
the car
showing
scene?
How frustrating it is when people are doing dumb stuff with cars.
Yeah, first of all, yes. Again, we're talking Nebula. That's one of Nebula's better scenes, is the stupid car. Just again, it's so funny because it's in contrast to the suit scene, right? Which is like, oh, that's so intuitive, and it's not intuitive at all. And then she like the most intuitive thing in the world really is just like a
push the button
on the handle. Like there's only one button. I don't know. She's trying to push other things. Trying to push
a keyhole. Yeah.
Like that's so funny that she like.
So now what? Open the fucking door.
Yeah, because you're like, yeah, especially because she like, she gets it, she pushes the button, and then just like stands there. It's like, just open the door.
It's the best, dude. I love it. It was. Am I a little bummed that it didn't get to be Deadpool or like Wolverine? I guess, but it's like you got to drop the F bomb eventually. Apparently, I think it was something some posted on our Facebook page or something. I saw that like. James Gunn left that in there, but he kind of assumed Kevin Feige would cut it because it was an F-bomb and he just let him keep it. So, like, that's actually kind of legendary that you would just shoot your shot like that. Like, it's funny enough. Let's see if it plays.
Yeah, it's funny. The whole scene. Yeah, exactly. That scene's, again, this movie's very funny. I'm going to keep saying it. I think which is why maybe Guardians don't age as well. And this one might not age as well. We've only seen it once. It's like humor drops off and that's fine. But
I don't know, man. It's a combination though. Like, yes, maybe some of the like one-liners, but the physical characteristics and like the build-up for what you know about each character and having them be so ridiculous in certain times. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna age poorly.
The action's dope. I mean, we've hit a little bit on the emotion, a little bit on the funny, but the action's really cool.
There was a couple times where like the violence got pretty heavy. I was like, maybe they could have gone. If they let James Gunn kind of do his full James Gunn thing, which is the rated R heads exploding things but like that. Like
you get away with it because like Nebula spits up oil instead of blood.
Yeah.
You know, you get to be a little loose.
Yeah. And a lot of like, there's like implied violence, like the blood coming off the scalpel when Rocket was getting worked on. Like it didn't show Rocket getting cut up, but obviously that's what was happening.
Yeah. All right, yeah, let's break down some action scenes while we're at it. Yep. Let's start with Warlock. Let's go all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, we didn't talk about him at all yet. I guess you want to talk about his action scene first, or just what you felt about the character?
Let's just talk about the action scenes. We talked about his character a little bit. We'll get fleshed out. Yeah. The opening action scene, really, like we said, we're meeting the town. We're meeting nowhere. It's sort of a catch-up for people who didn't watch the Christmas scene.
Yeah, and then, I pointed that out in the spoiler-free review that, like, he calls Mantis his sister twice in, like,
just to make sure you know, yeah,
10 minutes from each other. It's like we get it, like you, but you have to do stuff like that.
It's just, you get reintroduced to Cosmo, who is hilarious, by the way, so funny.
Oh, Cosmo is like a highlight back up legend. I liked Kraglin too; he was all right, but Cosmo really nailed it. Oh my god, I love Cosmo. I'm
taken back when you said I was bad dog.
That was almost my spoiler.
I know you did not need it.
I almost said good dog was going to be my word, but I didn't do it.
It's just so funny because it's like, it's exactly how I think if dogs could talk, that's how they would talk.
It's like the dog from Up. Like, it's like Doug, but smarter is kind of how they played Cosmo, and it worked.
That's
perfectly true.
That's a good way to describe it, which is very funny. But anyway, they reintroduce all this stuff, and then Adam sort of attacks out of nowhere. We don't really get what's going on. And it's sort of weird because he doesn't really talk much. I don't really even know what he's doing there. Like, is he just there to kill everyone? Is he, you know, it doesn't really explain it. Everyone gets a sort of one-on-one moment with him.
I like Will Poulter. His accent was pretty great. He's actually, like, I don't know why no one saw it coming, though. Like, Adam Warlock was not going to be taken that seriously because Will Poulter is primarily a comedic actor. He's in other serious things. Like, I play a video game where he's one of the main characters, and that's very dramatic, but he's known for being funny in things because he has a funny face, but now he's handsome and buff. So there you go.
Yeah. It was fine. I was totally fine with it because this action scene is what you wanted, right? It showed that he was big and scary and intimidating, but like, if the whole movie was just them fighting him, I'm like, that's lame. But the opening fight was cool. Everyone got their shot at him. Drax held up pretty well.
I liked it. It showed Nebula's durability once again of her doing that creepy exorcist, put herself back together thing.
Yep.
They get away with that too because she's a robot. They really do like take it out on the android because it's not illegal.
And of course, it leads to Rocket getting put in the situation that he is because he gets shot. Like, Warlock was there to kill him, which is cool. Like, he was like messing people up. Legitimately darker than most times fights end. It sort of had that Civil War tone to it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, because like for half a second I thought Rocket was literally going to die, and I was like, they spent the whole movie trying to save him.
Oh, it did the end,
like, yeah, just because, like, I don't know, I thought that yeah, obviously he got taken, they tried to save him with the med pack, which they weren't allowed to do because there's a kill switch on the heart, and that's kind of like the
That's how the plot starts.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, continuing on. That's a good fight scene. It's definitely not one of the better fight scenes.
No.
I think as we continue on, we see some more fights. You notice the creatures. They end up fighting a lot of these weird creatures. The creature design
is incredible. Baller, dude. You and I both were like, this feels like we're looking at video game characters, and like you pointed out, though, like, this feels like a video game building. It's just like they really kind of embraced the idea of like taking kind of ideas from games and putting them in the movie.
They sort of did a Bebop and Rocksteady from TMNT, but like in the souped up sort of horror style with the robot machines. Like the pig fight with Gamora was like pretty cool on the ship. The shooting scene with Groot and
Star-Lord was pretty legit. That was so cool looking. It was legit looking for sure.
I thought, and then obviously the hallway fight scene was the legendary one. Really think about it. Was there any, there's only like three or four like legit action scenes, but
You want to count, fighting as action, then yes. But like the whole, third act of them the people from the base.
There's plenty of like escaping explosions that happened a few different times.
Exactly.
But yeah, in pure fight scenes, there's only like three. But the hallway one is just so epic.
Yeah, it's so dope. I can't believe they made that look that cool, dude. Everybody got their highlight reel. It felt like you're just watching someone, like they cut apart a sizzle reel of like cool action sequences, and they're like, let's put them all in one hallway.
Yeah, it was definitely the opening scene from Ultron, but in a condensed hallway is really what it was. It was shot in a similar way. It sort of the camera rotated. But they did some like cool stuff. Like at one point, someone pins a dude to the wall while his like
Drax throws his knife into the knee. I liked Drax put a branch in someone and then turned them into like a alien porcupine. Like that was pretty wild.
I missed that one. I liked the Gamora cutting the last dude in half was pretty dope. Like you could tell like she's like, oh wait, this is like
Rocket running across Rocket running across Groot's arm as he's shooting people that you see in the trailer. Like there's a reason it was in the trailer because it's freaking sweet looking.
Oh yeah. And like when he finally gets to wake up and then you see him back on Groot's shoulder, you're like, yeah, that's where he belongs.
Yeah, there he is.
There's a lot of really, Star-Lord. Like I love watching Star-Lord for it because I think it's like so interesting that he's just this dude. But he like is always so clever. He's always just got like a weird, random, clever way of moving.
Yeah, like the one spot. I mean, maybe this is what you're thinking of. He threw the three gravity bomber explosion things on the chest, and then didn't activate it until they all turned on them to shoot. And then he's like, boom. And
I was of course, he put one.
It's very Batman.
Yeah, exactly. So I loved that. The whole hallway scene is great. What's his face with the arrow?
Oh, Kraglin.
First of all, spoiler alert, little cameo there by Yondu coming back.
Yeah, that's because James Gunn's friends with Michael Rooker, so he's just like, hey, dude, can you be in this for 3 seconds? And, of course, he's going to do it.
He probably did. I'm sure he did. But, like, you definitely could have just done it. He just stood there. Like, you could have took any scene of him and just superimposed him if you wanted.
No, but they didn't, though. You could tell because he's looking a little older, which kind of defeats the purpose. They could have de-aged him a little bit, but he was on the screen for all of what, 3-4 seconds, got to say like use your heart,
give a little chest bump, yep, little wry smile. But the arrow is just so cool, and
the arrow is sweet.
A smart way to do it, right? You give it to a character who's like a sort of a bumbling doofus who doesn't really know how to use it. That way like it can't be overpowered and just solve all your problems. But when he finally does, it sort of solves find all their problems.
That was a cool use of those two characters because Cosmo and Kraglin are both like new Guardians, but they were the ones left in charge of nowhere, and they came in the clutch with the Godhead to the ship. And it's like, they got
dope. Visually dope. That was very visually awesome to watch like come out of space.
Yeah.
And to find out that nowhere is just like a giant ship was pretty sweet. Yeah. That was a cool scene. The arrow is always dope. It's my favorite.
I got stuck and then Cosmo just sandwiched a dude. That was pretty sweet.
I knew you thought I was good dog. So good. Cosmo's so good. Dude. I do wish I could have seen a little more Cosmo interacting with the actual Guardians, but that's okay.
Well, the ones that are left by the end. You know, you got Rocket and Groot and then some new team members. Cosmo's part of that new group now, so she'll get some more opportunities, but you're right, not with the main people.
Did you have a favorite design of something? Whether it's creature,
ship, something? I don't know. They were really cool. I liked the like almost horror looking, what do they call them? The super bad guys. They had a name in it where like they're like the super beefy ones. They're the defender. I don't know what they called them.
You're right. Yeah,
incinerators.
They're supposed to be the bodyguards for the new planet.
Mm-hmm. The main guy was sick. He had like half an octopus head. It almost looked like like a lion maybe. I don't know. Just super
the one that
jacked.
Gamora cut in half.
Yeah.
I like the turtle. I think I like the turtle one the best. I thought he looked cool.
Yeah.
Warlock looked fine. I didn't love him.
They painted him gold. They did what they had to do.
I kind of like the High Evolutionary's look.
I like the stretched up face. They definitely stole that from Batman comic books. Joker got his face cut off, and then he started using the face that he cut off, and he wrapped the dead skin around his face. So it was very like representative of that a little bit.
It was definitely more RoboCop, but that's okay. You wouldn't know. No. You're too young.
It's Joker.
You're too young to get that reference. I did love that there was a moment where Star-Lord, like, I can't remember all of it. It's like Terminator, RoboCop, purple Nurple looking at. Like, he's just, he threw out like 4 or 5 different references in a row.
Barney looking ass or something like that.
And
yeah,
they were all dead on. You're like, that, they are all exactly.
Oh, that string of insults was unmatched.
So that was pretty good. I love that. And yeah, I like the High Evolutionary look. I mean, we could take a minute to talk about him while we're here, because I think he's probably the best conduit to talk through the plot, because he's the only one that connects the High Evolutionary.
High Evolutionary, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk through him, because it's the best way to talk the plot at the same time.
Yeah, I pointed out the spoiler-free one that, like, he's a true villain's villain. You don't feel bad for him at any point or feel like he's right in what he's doing. He's just, like, the easiest to identify. He's bad. He's the captain. He's the Captain Hook. He's, you know, he's made to be the enemy.
Yep.
Butch. Was it Butch and Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. And he does a good job. He does a good job of it. Like we said, the plot starts off really with him experimenting on Rocket because he's trying to create this new society. And as you're going through the flashbacks, you realize that he's struggling to make this perfection. And then, like, Rocket, even in his little infancy, sort of.
I liked the explanation of him as a character that, like, yeah, he's literally created universes. Like, people see him as God. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
He's literally created species, the whole weird gold species. Like, he created that species. He's created planets, but he's just trying to strive to create a perfect society, which he can't get right. But then Rocket comes in and, like, immediately solves an issue he's having.
Well, that was the funny part, is, like, he was talking out, like, how he's, like, how he made Counter-Earth to be, like, a better Earth, but then, you know, they point out that, like, there was an octopus dealing crack to cockroach kids, like, you did not succeed in making your perfect society, and obviously that's why he blows them up, but...
And he knows it, and he hates it, and it's, like, it's gnawing at him that he can't get it right, and he just needs Rocket back. Mm-hmm. He just needs Rocket's brain back so he can finally accomplish his weird goal. Like, that stuff's good. And the actual plot where he's, like, you know, like you said, he's created all these planets. He's obviously this big, important, big deal. His powers are pretty interesting. There's, like, telekinesis. It's very...
One thing that they dropped with him that I wish they would have done more in the movie, in the very beginning when you're introduced to him, when he's talking to the gold queen or whatever, they literally bring a step stool for him to look down on her because he's, like, a pretty short guy. So they gave him, like, a Napoleon complex and then just kind of... didn't really bring it up again. I kind of wish they would have kept that going, like when he was facing off with Star-Lord or whatever and knew he was coming. That type of thing.
Yeah, I wonder if it might have come off goofy. He probably should either don't do it at all or do it full way.
But, exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that he created the gold people. I thought it was that because that's why Warlock's doing this.
Yeah.
Get Rocket back or I will destroy.
Well, that was the thing that, like, people were trying to speculate on, like, why would these gold people be so upset about those batteries? And that was kind of, you know,
a good little retcon.
Ended up not being the true reason that, you know, Warlock's doing this mission.
An interesting little retcon, I thought. And like you said, yeah, he's just on this mission to get Rocket back while also trying to create this perfect planet. It's like, okay. It is weird that Rocket had, like, this kill switch, but I guess he didn't really care if Rocket died. I don't know. Like, how is he going to succeed if Rocket had died due to this kill switch? It sort of seems like a weird flaw in his plan.
Well, but, I mean, I guess he doesn't know that he's hurt, right? Because they didn't find...
that's true. They never really tell him, do they? I don't think they do.
No, exactly. I think that's what it is. I don't think he knows that Rocket's injured. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he didn't.
You're right. I don't ever think that there's a moment that they, like, explain that we needed to save our friend.
Or why they're trying to get the guy's, like, brain computer. Like, they kind of, yeah.
So that's it. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Yeah, there you go. It's interesting. Like, he destroys all of Counter-Earth because he's just like, didn't get it right. So he just destroys an entire planet of all these weird creatures, which is more sad than, you know, the audience feels. But sucks for them, I guess.
Right.
Well, they were dealing crack anyway, so who cares?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, whatever, dude. Planet's gone.
They're stuck in the 90s anyway. Who cares? I thought it was interesting. I thought he was good. I thought his dealing with Rocket was good.
Yep. I thought he was a good guy. Like, he was, like, kind of jealous of his creation and he wanted his brain. Like, all great stuff. Like, a really good reason why he would be, like, pushing it harder to get Rocket because he knows that he can't do it without him. It's really good kind of use of the villain.
For and sure. He sort of had that, like, that super genius tick where he was just, like, always going a little too fast. always like his brain was always a little overwhelmed.
So it's very much like Moriarty and Sherlock, if you want to go about it that way, like the mentally challenging, mentally jousting. He wanted his jousting partner because everyone else is kind of like below Rocket in the way he thinks of people and talking to them. So maybe that had a little bit to do with it too.
Yeah, I was definitely, as you're watching the movie, you're kind of like wondering, like, does he want Rocket back because he wants a companion? Does he want Rocket back because he wants to just steal his brain? Does he want Rocket back to like
help him become like the next, like help him be like assistant God or whatever? Like, because he pointed out the problem with them being feral when he was first creating these organisms anyway. So, yeah.
But then as you like watch the flashbacks, you sort of get this like, you realize how just absolutely brutally callous
Hayabusa was. Nuts too. Yeah.
Just kill any creature at any time. Didn't care, including Rocket. He was going to kill Rocket and all the other experiment. What 89-1B or whatever. Like, and he did. That was brutal. That was a sad scene.
Oh, it hurts. It hurt, man.
It was good to see Rocket scratch him up, which this comes back. That's why he wears his face, because.
He's got the two-face going on.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was pretty gory.
For like a PG-13 movie, they got away with a little bit there. I thought that was kind of scary looking, to be honest. I mean, not to me as an adult man, but to a kid, that would look sketchy and give you nightmares.
It's a freaky face, but I mean, if you're not scared by like that weird turtle or that weird like bunny, also that's true. That bunny with a floor. That's such a good. That's so. The whole time is sad. The way the music. Every time they're in that cell together.
Oh, and it gives them so much hope, and they think that they're the species. It's gonna get to go to the Earth, and oh man, everything about it just so good, so good,
so good, so evil. Rocket finds out it's Rocket. Okay, let's talk. Let's talk.
Ending. He's a raccoon.
That's true. Did I say he's a rocket? That's
so funny. Yeah, you did. You did. He did pick his name.
I was talking about the fact that he learns that he actually is indeed a raccoon. Yes. Which is a fun little callback to all three movies. Okay, yeah. Let's talk the ending though, because I do want to talk through where everybody ends off and how we feel about where they are. Not necessarily for us, because we might never see them again, or we might see them again. Who knows?
Right.
But like if this was the end. How would you feel about each character, where they went off, and like in your imagination?
All the Guardians characters?
Yeah, each Guardian.
I think this served as like you could have had all of the Guardians kind of retire, and I would have felt satisfied with the arcs that they went through. I'm also glad that like Rocket is taking on a leadership role, and like that was a touching little moment where Star-Lord kind of passes the mantle. Everybody explains what they're going to go do. Like that was all pretty, you know, classic. This is the end type of thing, but.
Well, let's break them down. Made
the conclusion. Great. Yeah. Okay.
Let's break them down one at a time and decide what we think. So you said you like Rocket. We like that he's staying as a Guardian, but he's now the leader.
Yep. Hard to say anything about Groot other than like, he's the loyal sidekick dog to Rocket. So there you go.
Which he does, but he looks cool.
That last one was really sweet looking.
He got much bigger and looks like a more of like a hardened ironwood. You know what I mean? Looks very cool.
Yeah.
Obviously him.
Birchy white type of thing. Yeah.
Cosmo and what's his face sort of are
Kraglin.
The Guardians now.
And well, there's another, the one of the little girls that they saved on the ship. They added her to the team, which is, I know. I was like, all right, whatever, I guess.
Gotta fill the team out.
Right.
They have a fun little post-credit scene. I like that. You're right. I like them. Drax and Nebula are staying behind to like.
Nebula's makes sense because she would be the one kind of left in charge around there. But Drax one, it was a throwaway. It sucks because like he wanted to go with Mantis, and Mantis is going to go off on some adventure that honestly they might turn into a short or like a post-credit scene for the next Guardians movie or something. It's going to be something to do with Mantis just prancing around doing her bubbly stuff. But Drax, instead of going with her, which would have been like more of a logical conclusion for his character, there's kind of like, nah, you stay here, I need help enforcing things. It was kind of weak, but I guess they weren't given that much of a choice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I like the they sort of try to justify it with the like, oh, you're good with kids, stay here and be the dad, which like then he gets to do the happy dancing and show that he's happy, but like he also cried with Mantis. But I agree. I wish he would have gone with Mantis.
Yep.
Like whatever. It seemed like there was no.
That's the, that was why I brought up the like maybe post credit scene or like a TV show episode or something. That's the only reason I brought it up because logically. I think they want to keep Mantis on the table and they want to do something with her later. And if they'd have to explain Drax's absence, but I don't think they're going to do a Nebula spinoff or whatever.
That's exactly right. You have to leave Drax behind because we know he's not going to be in future projects.
Exactly.
So that
was a bummer. He had a great film, but he didn't quite stick the landing because the conclusion for him didn't make sense. But everybody else, I think I felt pretty good about. Star-Lord's was a little weak, just a little bit. I was okay with the payoff, but it was a little weak. It's like there was an offhanded comment at the beginning of the movie about maybe your grandpa's still alive, and then it's kind of just forgotten until the end. I'm like, I don't know about that.
I think the Star-Lord thing is the same thing as the Drax, but in reverse. Right, I think that they need to have Star-Lord something else. They have something else planned specifically for Star-Lord.
Yep, and that was the post-credits scene. Like the legendary Star-Lord will return. And it's like he's the only one that said they were going to return for sure at this point. But I mean, obviously, I think.
But I think they wanted him to be on Earth. It was very important to them that Star-Lord was on Earth.
Yeah, because they don't have to like weirdly explain him going back and forth to Earth like at the next Avengers crossover. Just put him on Earth and then he's easy access.
Yep. So I think that's the reason for it. I don't love it, but it's fine. He gets to go back to Earth, explore his human side a little bit. Might be interesting going forward. Who knows? The Nebula thing, like you said, they sort of set it up. Even at the beginning of the movie, you could tell that because Star-Lord was a drunk, she had sort of taken over.
Which they're going to play... We're going to play on the like man out of time, I think, is what they're going to do with Star-Lord. Like, oh, he's in the 80s. They're going to Cobra Kai it. It's kind of what it sounds like they're going to do.
It depends on how Johnny. Big his, depends on how big his role is, but
that's true.
I do like it. He has a funny post end credit scene. Gamora, like you said, we sort of hit on Gamora's thing. She does go back to the Ravagers, but she also like very clearly was like accepted the fact that
camps, yeah.
Accepted the fact that, yeah, you're probably right. We probably were, like, good together.
Yeah.
The Star-Lord.
Like, what'd she say? I bet we were fun. I think that's, like, her.
Yeah, I bet we were fun. Which is good. I think it leaves the door open for if they ever want to do the romance again.
But also leaves the door entertainment open. Entertainment on YouTube here. He said the film was a balance of Volume 1 charm and jokes, but Volume 2 over-the-top creativity. I can see where he's coming from there.
I think all three films are incredibly creative. Incredibly
can't do a spacefaring adventure like this without it being super creative. Like,
well, you can. I've seen it. Ant-Man's not technically in space.
I'm saying you can't do it well. Yeah. Yes, they did a space adventure for Ant-Man and it was dumb.
More bland. It just was bland. Like this, everything about this, like the weird bio ship was like gross. But it's all very unique. It's so good. And I love the joke. I think all three movies' jokes are great. So I understand Derpy's point here. I think they're all amazing. But I love it.
Yep.
I love everything that's going on. It's all good stuff.
That kind of wraps up everyone. Is there anyone else that we kind of are leaving in the cold here? I mean, we didn't say it, but we did. Adam Warlock's on the new Guardians.
He's going to get
used again later for sure.
I was like, someone else we know. Is on that Guardians team. It's Warlock.
Yeah,
it's
Warlock. Yeah.
Everyone sort of ends, I think, in a pretty good spot. Like I said, it seems like the most likely is that it's going to be, Chris Pratt hanging out with Star-Lord. Yep. But I think there's a good chance we get, even if it's just a what if or a.
It's going to be interesting. Special. The space guys, I think they may not even cross over with Star-Lord at all again, which I think would be a good move. If they kept the new Guardians, they're not going to cross over with Star-Lord anymore because he's on Earth. But if they had something to do with like the next Secret Invasion or something in Captain Marvel, like I would like to see those characters interact with other people in the MCU because the Guardians, because they're a team of five, they separate sometimes, but for the most part, they feel like a unit that doesn't necessarily have individual relationships outside of their team. So I think it'd be cool to have them jumping around a little bit.
Yeah, more. I hope they show up some more. Like I said, it has. I mean, the Mantis thing. I don't know that we'll ever see her again. I think you're right that they left the door open by not having Drax go with her. But I don't know. It didn't feel like they had anything planned for her, though.
Well, can we? I mean, let's keep it 100. Like, she's not the best character. She's just not.
I liked her.
She's
a lot
good, but she's not even. I don't even think she's a top three guardian. So it's just like.
I don't know, dude. I really liked her. I thought she was really fun, and I loved her in the Christmas special.
She doesn't have the pull power. I don't know. Like,
she definitely doesn't have that. I mean, that she definitely isn't the most popular.
Exactly. She's not a solo artist. She needs a group of people to hang out with. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems weird that she didn't stay and just be on the Guardians. And again, her explanation at the end was super weak. It was like, oh, I did everything Ego wanted forever. And then I did everything the Guardians wanted. It's like, no one's
forcing you to be here. That's a good point, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there has to be something. I just don't. I mean, Marvel's known. I mean, it'll pay off. It'll be cool in, 6 years. And we're like, hey, there she is.
Well, maybe it's the same thing as Rex. Maybe she was like, I'm not coming back to be part of a new Guardians team. I'm not doing it.
That's true.
Like, just send my character somewhere else because I'm not sticking around either.
Also could be true. Yeah, that's fair. It is kind of crazy that a lot of these actors are trying to get out of their Marvel roles. I'm like, but why? It's just free money, dude. Like, it's you're so doing your job more than like anywhere else. I'm not saying that should be the only thing you do, because
eventually
you're gonna flex your creativity. But come on, keep the money flowing. Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel are gonna ride these lines out until they're 90 if they want to. Which is just like. It's not like they're going around physically acting at all. They're just like, yeah, let me do some voiceover stuff and pay me $10 million.
Yeah, but how awful is the Fast and Furious franchise now? I mean,
that's true. that's a weak comparison, though. I'm just saying, the idea of that started with street races and somehow we got to space. That is not what this is. This is comic books, and now they're
going to started in space.
Exactly.
No, it's going to end in street racing. It's going to be good.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, all in all, I mean, like I said, I feel good about that 7-8 range of a ranking. I feel good that it's going to hold up a little bit to the, the emotions are going to hold up. I think the action's going to hold up probably better than some of the other ones. That's the one thing Guardians 1 doesn't really have is any, like, really cool action scenes.
I think you're right. There's not, like, anything.
I mean, yeah, the attack on Nowhere is boring. The final Xandar attack is boring. Like, the prison break is like, okay.
Yeah, they have cooler action scenes in the Avengers. Like, when they're just mowing down aliens in Wakanda. That thing is, that was sweet.
So, I think that this movie is going to have that on one. I think just, it doesn't have an awful, awful side plot. Like
two.
The Rocket sad backstory is so much better
subplot
than the Ego subplot going on in two. So, It's going to hold up well. I still think it's like on par with one, but I could see the argument.
No, it's for me. I said it before, and I've thought about it more, and I'm sticking with it. This is definitely the best Guardians one for me.
Yeah, good. And I hope you like it. And it sucks that they're gone. Like, I'm sad that there's not going to be another Guardians. Right? Like, I would love to see these.
Is it weird that this conclusion did enough for me that I'm not actually sad about not seeing a future here?
It's not that weird. You didn't like the first two.
I know, but it's still a team. It's part of the MCU. It's just kind of like, I'm not looking forward too much. Yeah, fair enough.
The fact that I know Star-Lord's coming back makes me okay with the whole thing. So,
right.
Overall, fun movie, good movie. I liked it a lot. I mean, there's a lot to say. I think you got to go watch it. Go watch it. Pay attention to all of it. Yeah,
this is a theater Marvel movie, guys. Like, go out there and watch it. It's Quantumania. We get it. We told you not to go to the movies to see that. I do not.
Yeah, trust our opinion. Like, we're objective here. We wouldn't tell you to go watch it if we didn't think it was really, really.
Well, yeah, because I know how much of a pain it is. Like, Coach, I committed the cardinal sin recently. For the first time in 10 years, I didn't go see a superhero movie in theaters. It was Shazam 2, but
still. I'm not watching Shazam 2. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I don't care what anyone says.
I can be objective. Be like, yeah, you don't have to see this one in the theater. And this one, I would highly recommend you do.
Yep, definitely should. Definitely good. Pay attention to all of it. Like we said, I think every character's arc, you can see the seeds of it in that opening scene on Nowhere. And it pushes through the whole movie. It's worth Pay attention to everything. Pay attention to every character.
They stick the landing, man. They gave you all the full story. They gave you a close, but they also gave the writers kind of ways out with certain characters. So it served exactly what the end of a trilogy is supposed to do when it's part of a franchise like this.
And if you can, get there on the weekend. It's always more fun with a crowd. I think especially movies that are supposed to be funny are way better with a crowd that also laughs with you.
Surprising, but I did see that this had the best preview screening of the franchise, which makes sense. But you know, it's still a good stat to have that like a lot of people went and saw this on Thursday, and that means that I think this is a nice boost that the MCU needed. Not that I thought it was that bad, but the audience wasn't 100% there for them sometimes. So,
yep,
go see.
All right, this was fun. Thank you guys for hanging out. Hope you guys enjoyed our little week of Guardians goodness. We'll see if we get some other people on to give their opinions of Guardians, of course. And then
Secret Invasion coming soon.
We'll get back on that Secret Invasion train, which will be fun. Try not to have too much fun without us, guys. Thank you. Great review.
Hey, guys, in case it wasn't obvious, we here at Marvel Stuff and the Gotham City Rogues podcast do not own any of the IP we talk about. We're just fans having a good time talking about the things we love.